All nature seems at work. Slugs leave their lair, the bees are stirring, birds are on the wing, and winter slumbering in the open air wears on his smiling face a dream of spring. And I, the while, the sole unbusy thing, nor honey make, nor pair, nor build, nor sing. Yet well I ken the banks where amaranths blow, have traced the fount whence streams of nectar flow. Bloom, ye amaranths, bloom for who ye may, bloom for me ye bloom not, glide rich streams away. With lips unbrightened, wreathless brow I stroll, and would you learn the spells that drowse my soul? Work without hope draws nectar in a sieve, and hope without an object cannot live. You're listening to CICK 93.9, Smithers Community Radio, broadcasting from unceded Cassia territory of the Gitomden Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. My name's Gavin Smith, and you're listening to The Underword, a song that looks for the old poets turning up in new music. And you were just listening to Samuel Taylor Coleridge, Work Without Hope. And Samuel Taylor Coleridge will be the subject of our episode today, and this is part one. There will also be a part two, and I'll talk a little bit about that. I'm reading today from Selected Poetry and Prose of Coleridge on loan, interlibrary loan from Dawson Creek Municipal Public Library. Shout out to Dawson Creek Library. Quick thanks to our sponsor, Accounting on Broadway. Appreciate the support to CICK. Quick bio of Samuel Taylor Coleridge. He was born in 1772 in Devonshire in England, and he died in 1834 in Highgate, which is near London. He is one of the founders of the Romantic movement of poetry, along with his close friend William Wordsworth, who we covered on our last episode, if you were listening. If not, you can find that on CICK, The Underword. We've got playlists of our old shows. Coleridge suffered from poor health, for which he was treated with laudanum, which led to a lifelong opium addiction. And the effects of opium influenced a number of his works, notably Kubla Khan, which we're going to be talking about later today. And like Wordsworth, he was also influenced by nature, and he was a committed hiker. And fun fact, he is credited with coining the term mountaineering, which was in a written account of one of his rock climbing trips. We are going to start with the poem Christabel, which is one of my favorites of his. I didn't know it particularly well before doing some reading for this show. It's been interpreted by some as kind of a lesbian vampire story, which is a bit of ahead of its time, I guess. It was never finished, interestingly. He tried over decades to finish this poem, but he never did. So it's also very long, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to give you like the Coles notes up to the point where I'm going to read. So Christabel, who's the character of this poem, leaves her family castle in the dead of night. She goes into the woods to pray for her lover, who is a knight who's off somewhere. And while she's praying, she hears a strange moan, and she finds behind an old oak tree a beautiful young woman named Geraldine, who claims that she was kidnapped by warriors on horseback and left in the woods. Christabel sneaks Geraldine back to her castle in the dead of night while everyone is sleeping, so Geraldine can rest and recover. But as they enter the castle, strange things start to happen, like the family's mastiff begins to bark in its sleep as Geraldine passes, and fading torches suddenly relight as Geraldine walks by. Christabel takes Geraldine into her chamber and gives her wildflower wine. And then Geraldine becomes almost possessed, and she begins speaking in tongues. And so that's where we're going to jump in. This excerpt begins with Christabel speaking to Geraldine after she was speaking in tongues. Then Christabel knelt by the lady's side and raised to heaven her eyes so blue. Alas, said she, this ghastly ride, dear lady, it hath wildered you. The lady wiped her moist cold brow and faintly said, 'Tis over now. Again the wildflower wine she drank, her fair large eyes gan glitter bright, and from the floor whereon she sank, the lofty lady stood upright. She was most beautiful to see, like a lady of a far country. And thus the lofty lady spake, and they who live in the upper sky do love you, holy Christabel, and you love them, and for their sake, and for the good which me befell, even I in my degree will try, fair maiden, to requite you well. But now unrobe yourself, for I must pray ere yet in bed I lie. Quoth Christabel, "So let it be," and as the lady bade, did she. Her gentle limbs did she undress and lay down in her loveliness. But through her brain of weal and woe so many thoughts moved to and fro that vain it were her lids to close. So halfway from the bed she rose and on her elbow did recline to look at the Lady Geraldine. Beneath the lamp the lady browed and slowly rolled her eyes around. Then drawing in her breath aloud, like one that shuddered, she unbound the cincture from beneath her breast. Her silken robe and inner vest dropped to her feet, and in full view, behold her bosom and half her side, a sight to dream of, not to tell. Oh, shield her, shield sweet Christabel. Yet Geraldine nor speaks nor stirs. Ah, what a stricken look was hers. Deep from within she seems halfway to lift some weight with sick assay, and eyes the maid and seeks delay. Then suddenly, as one defied, collects herself in scorn and pride and lay down by the maiden's side. And in her arms the maid she took. Ah, well a day, and with low voice and doleful look these words did say. In the touch of this bosom there worketh a spell, which is lord of thy utterance, Christabel. Thou knowest tonight and wilt know tomorrow this mark of my shame, this seal of my sorrow. But vainly thou warrest, for this is alone in thy power to declare that in the dim forest thou heardst a low moaning and found a bright lady surpassingly fair, and didst bring her home with thee in love and in charity to shield her and shelter her from the damp air. I'm going to skip ahead now to the next morning. A star hath set, a star hath risen, O Geraldine, since arms of thine have been the lovely lady's prison. O Geraldine, 1 hour was thine, thou'st had thy will by tarn and rill, the night birds all the hour were still. But now they are jubilant anew from Cliffland Tower to woo, to woo, to woo, to woo from wood and fell, and see the Lady Christabel gathers herself from out her trance, her limbs relax, her countenance grows sad and soft, the smooth thin lids close o'er her eyes, and tears she sheds. Large tears that leave the lashes bright, and oft the while she seems to smile as infants at a sudden light. And one more skip ahead. The air is still, through mist and cloud, that merry peal comes ringing loud, and Geraldine shakes off her dread, and rises lightly from the bed, puts on her silken vestments white, and tricks her hair in lovely plight, and nothing doubting of her spell awakens the Lady Christabel. Sleep you, sweet Christabel, I trust that you have rested well. And Christabel awoke and spied the same who lay down by her side, or rather say the same whom she raised up beneath the old oak tree. Nay, fairer yet, and yet more fair, for she belike hath drunken deep of all the blessedness of sleep. And while she spake, her looks, her air, such gentle thankfulness declare, that so it seemed her girded vests grew tight beneath her heaving breasts. Sure I have sinned, said Christabel, now heaven be praised if all be well. And in low faltering tones yet sweet did she the lofty lady greet, with such perplexity of mind as dreams too lovely leave behind. There you go. There's more to the poem, of course. Then the two meet, Christabel's father, etc., etc. But because the poem was never finished, it doesn't really have a clear resolution, which is almost part of why it's interesting. We are going to go now to a band who has written a song that was based on this poem. It is, maybe unsurprisingly, The Cure. The song is called A Foolish Arrangement. It was recorded as a B-side to their 1992 album, Wish. But it wasn't released, really, until 2004's Join the Dots, B-Sides and Rarities. The song heavily references the poem Christabel, right from the very first line, which is, if you catch it, Christabel strips and slips like a dream. This is The Cure with A Foolish Arrangement. That was The Cure with A Foolish Arrangement. We're going to turn now to, I would say, probably Coleridge's second most famous poem. And I say that because his most best-known poem is The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, which is one of my favorites. And we're going to, there's so many songs that have been inspired by Rime of an Ancient Mariner, the Ancient Mariner, that we're going to devote a whole episode, which is the part two, the next episode, to The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. So I say this is his second, probably, most famous poem, which is Kubla Khan. And the subtitle that Coleridge gave to this poem was A Vision in a Dream, a Fragment. And famously, he woke from an opium dream with a lengthy and fully formed poem in his head, which he was just getting into when someone knocked at his door on business and detained him for, he says, about an hour. And by the time he got back to his room, he'd forgotten much of the poem. So imagine being that guy who's knocking on his door to sell quilted handkerchiefs or whatever they were selling door to door. I don't know what was going on. But anyways, being the person who resulted in Kubla Khan being cut short. But there was a nugget that he remembered, and this is what remained in his memory. This is Kubla Khan. In Xanadu did Kubla Khan a stately pleasure dome decree, where Alph, the sacred river, ran through caverns measureless to man down to a sunless sea. So twice 5 miles of fertile ground with walls and towers were girdled round, and there were gardens bright with sinuous rills where blossomed many an incense-bearing tree. And here were forests ancient as the hills, enfolding sunny spots of greenery. But oh, the deep romantic chasm which slanted down the green hill athwart a cedarn cover, a savage place, as holy as enchanted as e'er beneath a waning moon was haunted by woman wailing for her demon lover. And from this chasm with ceaseless turmoil seething, as if this earth in fast thick pants were breathing, a mighty fountain momently was forced, amid whose swift half-intermittent burst huge fragments vaulted like rebounding hail or chaffy grain beneath the thresher's flail. And mid these dancing rocks at once and ever it flung up momently the sacred river, 5 miles meandering with a mazy motion through wood and dale the sacred river ran, then reached the caverns measureless to man and sank in tumult to a lifeless ocean. And mid this tumult Kubla heard from far ancestral voices prophesying war. The shadow of the dome of pleasure floated midway on the waves, where was heard the mingled measure from the fountain and the caves. It was a miracle of rare device, a sunny pleasure dome with caves of ice. A damsel with a dulcimer in a vision once I saw. It was an Abyssinian maid, and on her dulcimer she played, singing of Mount Abora. Could I revive within me her symphony and song, to such a deep delight 'twould win me, that with music loud and long I would build that dome in air, that sunny dome, those caves of ice, and all who heard should see them there, and all should cry, beware. Beware, his flashing eyes, his floating hair, weave a circle round him thrice, and close your eyes with holy dread, for he on honeydew hath fed, and drunk the milk of paradise. That was Xanadu. And maybe not surprisingly, this song has inspired a whole bunch of popular culture, from music to film. If you're a fan of the movie Citizen Kane, you'll probably notice Xanadu. And it's not the only movie that references Xanadu, and we'll get to that in a moment. We're going to have to do a bit of a flyover of the songs that are inspired by Kubla Khan, because not only are there a lot, it seems to have inspired some really long songs, including a 13-minute banger by Rush, the famed Canadian rock band formed in the 70s. And so we're going to turn to that first. It's the song Xanadu. And this one is, as I mentioned, I think it's about 11 minutes long. So we're gonna cut in kind of midway, and we'll play just a bit of it, and then we'll zoom out. So this is Xanadu. Enjoy. Xanadu. You know what? We're gonna skip ahead here. This is even longer than I thought it was. We're gonna go. I'm just skipping ahead here. Sorry, there's a longer intro than I remember. Here we go. That was an excerpt of Rush's Xanadu, which follows and somewhat reimagines the story of Kublai Khan. We're going to turn now to Frankie Goes to Hollywood with their song Welcome to the Pleasure Dome from the album Welcome to the Pleasure Dome. And this was released in 1984. Again, really long song. This one's like 13 minutes long. I'm not sure what it is about Kublai Khan that really gets people going in that regard. This album went to number one in the UK, and they really became sort of one of the most well-known pop acts of the time. Here you go. There you go. That was Frankie Goes to Hollywood with Welcome to the Pleasure Dome from the album of the same name. We're going to turn now. I mentioned Citizen Kane as being referencing Kublai Khan. It's not the only movie. There is also the movie Xanadu, which is a 1980 musical fantasy film starring Olivia Newton-John. And according to Wikipedia, I haven't seen this movie. The title is a reference to the nightclub in the film, which takes its name from Xanadu in the poem, as well as the poem is actually quoted in the film as well. Olivia Newton-John with the Electric Light Orchestra does the soundtrack for this movie. So this will just be a quick clip as well. But this is Olivia Newton-John singing Xanadu from the film of the same name. Okay, that's all you're going to get of that. Sorry. So we're going to do a couple more. There's so many Xanadu songs. This is now for something completely different. I'm going to play Amit Ozkan, his song Xanadu, brackets Mongolian techno, end brackets. And he's a Dutch-Turkish DJ. He released this song in 2022, and it has almost 30 million listens on Spotify. So very, very popular song. I'm just going to play a little clip of this one. This is Amit Ozkan with Xanadu. Okay, there you go. Just a quick taste of that one. That was Amit Ozkan with Xanadu. And we're going to do one last one. This is actually the band Xanadu, which is a British pop band releasing music in the modern day, quite recent, a lot of their singles. And I'll just play, an excerpt from their 2024 single, The Way You Think. Here it is. Enjoy.
I cry loosely, I stare down at your feet, I'm yours in the crowd, it's your girl yelling through me, the face of an angel with words like a savior.
The soul true something, this in limbo's den, it frightens ghosts as here ghosts frighten men, thence crossed unseized and shall some fated hour be pulverized by Demogorgon's power, and given as poison to annihilate souls. Even now it shrinks them, they shrink in as moles, nature's mute monks, live mandrakes of the ground, creep back from light, then listen for its sound, see but to dread, and dread they know not why, the natural alien of their negative eye. 'Tis a strange place, this limbo, not a place, yet name it so, where time and weary space, fettered from flight, with nightmare sense of fleeing, strive for their last crepuscular half-being. Lank space and scytheless time with branny hands, barren and soundless as the measuring sands, not marked by flit of shades, unmeaning they as moonlight on the dial of day. But that is lovely, looks like human time, an old man with a steady look sublime that stops his earthly task to watch the skies. But he is blind, a statue hath such eyes. Yet having moonward turned his face by chance, gazes the orb with moon-like countenance. With scant white hairs, with foretop bald and high, he gazes still, his eyeless face all eye. As 'twere an organ full of silent sight, his whole face seemeth to rejoice in light. Lip touching lip, all moveless bust and limb, he seems to gaze at that which seems to gaze on him. No such sweet sighs doth limbo den immure, walled round and made a spirit jail secure by the mere horror of blank not at all, whose circumambience doth these ghosts enthrall. A lurid thought is growthless, dull privation, yet that is but a purgatory curse. Hell knows a fear far worse, a fear, a future state. 'Tis positive negation. That was Coleridge with Limbo, and before that you were listening to the band Xanadu with the song The Way You Sink. We're going to go out with one more. This one is by Samuel Coleridge Taylor. So he was named after Samuel Taylor Coleridge, of the family of the Taylors. They named their kid Samuel Coleridge Taylor. And he was an Anglo-African growing up in England in the late 1800s and early 1900s who defied the odds by becoming one of the most successful composers of his day, including several tours of America and an invitation by President Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, to visit the White House. Not only was he named after Coleridge, also he was inspired by him, including writing a piece in 1905 entitled Kubla Khan, A Rhapsody for Solo, Chorus, and Orchestra. Unfortunately, I couldn't find that one. So we're going to play, it's a recent release performed by Ashley Jackson, 2025. But the song is written by Samuel Coleridge Taylor, and it's called Deep River 2. So we're going to go out on this one. Have yourselves a good night, and we'll see you next time.